His name. It's come time for preaching. I appreciate Brother Scott Moneyham, who pastors the Holly Springs Baptist Church in Rutherford, North Carolina. He's God's man for this hour. I love him, and I want you to hear him gladly, and you help him while he preaches. Don't sit there and look at him. You wave at him and say amen. You'll get more out of his preaching, and he'll preach better. I guarantee it. All right, Brother Scott, love you. Appreciate you.
Amen. Blessed be the good name of the Lord. Appreciate the good singing tonight. That's my kind. Now, you might possibly, maybe, be saved and not like that kind. But you flat out cannot be sanctified and not like that kind of singing. Amen. Psalm 103 is the text tonight. I know my folks that are gathered with us tonight appreciate him riding up. They're not surprised that I say Psalms. We've been there for over 6 months now. But Psalm 103, verse 12, is where I want to try to park for a few moments tonight and meditate on one of the many benefits that David magnifies in this psalm. It is a psalm of pure praise. There are no petitions in this psalm. It's just David magnifying and rejoicing in the benefits of God. And the one I want to focus in on this night is how our Lord deals with sin. He is slow in verse 8. He is slow to anger. In verse 9 and 10, he is gracious and he is merciful. Now in between, you and I ought not presume on that. He is slow to anger and he is gracious and he is merciful. But notice in verse 9, he does not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. But you notice that last phrase in verse 11, toward them that fear him, there's something special that he does. And it's my text tonight in verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. There is a casting here. He has cast our sins away from us this night. There's a certainty here. He doesn't say, I might do it. He doesn't say, I shall do it. He doesn't say, I will do it. Hath done it. It is certain. It is done. It is finished, as we tried to magnify last night. There's comprehension here. You notice there's no list here for every sin and every transgression and every iniquity has been cast. But you notice there's a congregation here. It's us. No, it's not everyone, but it's us. It's those who fear the Lord. It's those who know the Lord. This verse tonight speaks of how our Lord deals with sin, but this verse tonight speaks to we who are the forgiven. And that's what I want to try to magnify tonight, this thought of the forgiven. I want to drive two more stakes as we did last night. And I want to begin tonight by dealing with the fact of forgiveness. Now, we began last night looking at the feeling of the forsaken. But feelings change. And I'm forgiven tonight, but I must be honest tonight, I don't always feel that way. But as Joe Friday would say from Dragnet Day, some of you know what that is, some of you are not that refined, I know. Just the facts tonight, and here's the facts of forgiveness tonight. He simply says here, as for, there is a direction tonight that cannot be viewed. There is a direction tonight that you and I cannot view. There's a direction tonight that you and I cannot see. And that's mighty important tonight because he's taken our sins and he's not merely cast them in a destination. Oh my, you can reach a destination. You can arrive at a destination. You can go to desperation, but oh my, a direction, and especially the direction that he mentions in this text, you'll never arrive there. You can't get there. You can't even look in that direction at the same time. Oh my, he doesn't say now, I'll cast thy sins as far as the north is from the south. No, he says from the east is to the west. Because you can't be looking east and looking west at the same time. Now you can look in some directions. You can look northeast. You can look northwest. You can look north-south, north-south in a sense, when I'm looking this way and I'm going to turn and look this way, but there's the key. You must turn. Oh, man, you can look a little bit to the southeast. You can look a little bit to the southwest. But the only way for me to look west, I got to turn my back. I got to turn away from, and I've got to turn my back on the east. And God Almighty takes our sin and casts them in a direction you can't see, and the devil can't see, and anyone else cannot see tonight. Oh, that's the fact of forgiveness tonight. As far. Oh, my. He simply says, James Montgomery Boyce says this. He says, when he looks at our sin, he's no longer looking at us. But when he's looking at us, he's no longer looking at our sin. Almighty night. David is praising the Lord in this verse that God Almighty no longer is viewing his sin. He's cast the sin of David as far as the east is from the west. Oh my. Isaiah says it this way, thou cast all my sins behind thy back. Just the facts tonight. As far a direction that you can't view. So far, he goes on to say. As far as the east is from the west, so far. Oh my, that's a distance you can't measure. There's a direction you can't view. There's a distance you cannot measure. For the mercy and the love and the grace of God is beyond measure. Why, what does he say down here in verse 17? The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. You can't measure everlasting. You can't measure eternity tonight. Your tape measure is not that big. But even if you had a tape measure that big, where would you put the end? Where would you set it down? There is no beginning. There is no ending to eternity. And God Almighty has taken our sins and he has cast them. He has cast them as far as the east is from the west. There's this distance that cannot be measured. Now Baptists are real good at measuring things. The Pharisees specialized in measuring things. But is heaven is higher than the earth in verse 11? Higher than that? Farther than that? Our God has cast our sins away. There is this distance tonight that cannot be measured. And the Holy Ghost who brooded over the waters, and the Holy Ghost who brooded over creation, he does know his distances and he does know his direction. That's why he doesn't say north-south. That's why he says east and west. For you can measure from the North Pole to the South Pole. 12,430 miles. In fact, from this very spot tonight, it is possible for scientists, from this very spot tonight, it's possible to measure to the North Pole, to the South Pole. The Holy Ghost knows his distances tonight. Oh my, 12,430 miles. That seemed like a long, long, long way. I can't speak for you tonight. I don't want my sin that close. Now, I know some of you tonight, you want to keep your sin close. What y'all do is get saved tonight and get shed of all that. No, the Holy Ghost says, not from the north to the south, but from the east to the west. He has cast our sin. Oh, my. I mean, the truth is, compared to God and compared to eternity, oh, my, the distance between the north and south is real, real close. Too close. Why, do you know the sun? The sun is over 81,000 miles away, million miles away. Takes 8 minutes for those rays moving at the speed of light, 186,000 miles per second to get to us, to get to us. They say the nearest star is 4 light years away. That means for 4 years, traveling every day at 186,000 miles per second. Not hours, that's in granny gear. No, no, no. Per second. That'd take you 4 years to get there. They say sometimes late in the fall, if you got good eyes and everything's clear, you can see the farthest constellation that is that we can see. They say it's Andromeda. My eyesight's not that good. They say that it's 2 million, that's with an M, light years away. Oh, my. I want you to know tonight, all that's still too close. But I got good news tonight. My sins are not that close. As far as the east is from the west, a distance that you can't measure, a direction you cannot look in, our God, my God, has taken my sins. No wonder Paul says, oh my God, help us to comprehend the height and the depth and the breadth and the width of the love of God. Immeasurable love brings immeasurable forgiveness. You're not forgiven tonight. It's not that other person you've got problems with. It's love you've got problems with tonight. Or hear me tonight. There is this distance and direction that I want to magnify. Because I want to tell you tonight, you head out to the North Pole, you'll get there. Head out to the South Pole, you'll get there. Head out toward the sun, you'll likely burn up before you get there, but you put on some asbestos, I guess you might can get there. You head out to Andromeda, I reckon in a long, long time you will get there. But I want to remind you tonight, if you head out east, you're never going to run into west. You head out west, you're never going to start going east. That is the direction, that is the distance that my God has cast my sins from me. And the further east you go, the further from west you get. I'm talking about the facts of forgiveness tonight. Oh my, there's this direction you can't view. As far as the east is from the west, so far there is this distance that cannot be measured. But notice he says in the text, hath removed our transgressions from us. There is a detachment that cannot be reattached. There is a separation that cannot be reunited. Sin tonight makes us guilty before God. Sin tonight separates us from God. And our transgressions and our iniquities and our sins are all attached. They're transcribed. They are recorded to our account. And our transgressions and our sins and our iniquities testify against us. speak against us. So am I. But I want to know tonight, God Almighty, our Lord and our Savior, does not deal with us according to our transgressions. He does not deal with us according to our sin. No, He deals with us according to Calvary and what He's done there for you and for me. I remind you from last night, He became the forsaken that we could become the forgiven. And the only reason I can preach tonight about the forgiven is because, as we saw last night, He became the forsaken. Well, man, He just didn't take our sin. It just wasn't laid on Him. No, He became sin. He who knew no sin became sin for you and for me. Took my sinful record unto Himself. But hallelujah, He didn't leave me in the void. He didn't leave me hanging. Gave me His righteous record. Gave me His holy record this night. Oh my, my, my. In grace, in mercy, my sin was attached, united to Him. But hallelujah, from the other side, in grace and mercy, His righteousness, His holy, was attached to me. Oh, my tonight. That's why over in the book of Colossians, when Peter speaks, and Peter says these holy, holy, tremendous words, here's what he says in Colossians 2. He says, "You being dead in your sins and uncircumcised of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven," we're the forgiven tonight, "having forgiven you all trespass, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and He took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." It's all in the imperfect tense, which means it's done, and it's complete, and it's forever going to stay done. It means it will never be attached to my record again. And do you notice the Holy Ghost does not have David list any out? There's no list here of our transgressions, our iniquities, and our sins. Because had there been a list, the devil would have snuck up and said, "Well, now you know that one was left out. You know that one was overlooked." No, this is a comprehensive promise encompassing every sin, every transgression. All have been taken and cast in a direction and moved to a distance that cannot be measured, and have been separated, and they cannot be reunited, reattached. I love what Spurgeon said. Had he said great transgressions, we'd be stuck with the lesser ones. Had he said intentional sins, we'd be stuck with the unintentional sins. Had he said public, we'd been hung by the private sins. Had he said sins before saved, we'd be hung out to dry with the sins after we were saved. I'm meditating tonight. I'm a part of the forgiven tonight. All my sins, past, present, and future, have been forgiven. They've been cast. They're in a direction you can't look. They're a distance you can't measure tonight. So I said, "When I preach it, that just can't be." Well, just where were your sins when He is a dying on the cross? Put your seatbelt on. I cannot confess a sin He has not already been forsaken for. I cannot confess a sin He's not already suffered for. He became the forsaken that I might become the forgiven. You say, "Well, I preach, if I believe that, I'd live and do as I please." No, bless God, you'd live and do as He pleases. just the facts tonight. He's dealt with our sins. He has detached them from us, never to be charged to our lives again. Here's how Paul said it. There is therefore now no condemnation. How come? It all got dumped out. It all got poured out on him when he made the forsaken that I might become the forgiven. And you notice the text. He's done all this with our sins. Cast them, removed them, detached them from us. Not just from his eyes. Not just from his view. From us. From us. Sin no longer has any power over you if you're a child of God tonight, unless you allow it to be so. Forgiven sin is just that. It is forgiven sin. He is the forsaken. We are the forgiven. We ought to go to acting like it. Because the truth is, we often feel like we are the forsaken. But hallelujah, in his grace, in his mercy, and his long suffering, he became the forsaken that we might become the forgiven. These are just the facts tonight. And unlike feelings, they do not change. But my second key thought tonight is the faith of the forgiven. This verse is a declaration that we take by faith. This verse is a pronouncement and a declaration by God Almighty himself that as far as the east is from the west, he hath removed our transgressions from us. So what's the declaration, preacher? Forgiven. Gone. My sins are gone. My sins are forgiven. That's the declaration, oh my, of the forgiven tonight. And the Old Testament has a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful picture of it. On the Day of Atonement, oh my, two goats in this case, oh my, picturing what God does with our sins and how God views us who have been forgiven. Both are involved and both are needed. Bearing and removing our sins. That slain goat dies, for the wages of sin is death. That slain goat dies and takes away, removes as far as the east is from the west, removes our sins from us. The slain goat by death takes away our sin. And that scapegoat by sin as well. I misspoke there. That slain goat lifts up and takes off our sin, takes up our sin. This scapegoat takes away our sin by distance. I can't reach east nor west, but there is somebody that can. There is one and only one that can. It's the fit man that's involved on the Day of Atonement. Now it's dangerous. I get nervous when I hear preachers say this, so I say it with caution tonight because I know how nervous I get when I hear preachers say it. I can't prove what I'm about to preach. But you can't disprove it, so you just all go ahead and say, hey, I believe that. I believe that's right. I see Aaron coming in late one evening. It's later than normal. He's greeted at the tent door. And his wife says, honey, I kept supper warm tonight. I knew how long the day would be. I knew how difficult and hard the day would be. And I've got something for you to eat. And Aaron sits down. And Aaron begins to eat. And she says, "Honey, I know you're tired. But if it wouldn't be too much trouble, would you tell me one more time? Would you tell me just like you did last year and the year before that? And would you tell me just how it happens? Would you tell me just exactly how it is God deals and removes our sin? Would you just tell me, honey, how it is you know God has forgiven us of our sins?" I can see Aaron maybe saying, "Well, now, honey, after we determine those unblemished goats, those two unblemished goats, I cast the lots to determine which goat would be the Lord's goat. I cast the lots to determine which one would die for our sins. Because, honey, life and death are in His hands, and man does not have the choice that belongs to God alone." And after that slain goat was chosen, and honey, that slain goat was slain, I took that blood, and I got to go in, and I sprinkled seven times on the mercy seat on that blood that it might atone for our sins. I did, honey, just exactly what God said to do. I can see her saying, "Oh, well, honey, how though do you know He accepted what you did?" Well, honey, here I am. I'm not dead. Because, honey, it breaks my heart. But, honey, you remember God killed our boys. God killed Nadab and Abihu. Because you just can't worship God any way you please. And you just can't approach God any way you please. Honey, I know He said, "Here I am, here I am, here I am." She said, "Well, honey, I know you're here, but how can you know that our sins are not still here too?" Honey, I took my hands, and on that other goat, who also was chosen, but just chosen in a different way, honey, I laid my hands on that goat's head. And I confessed all my sins. And I confessed all our sins. And I confessed all of our people's sins. And I confessed all the sins of our nation. And honey, I can't explain it all, but God Almighty on my then took, He made a detachment. He took our sins and He put them on that goat. I gave that goat to fit man, and He took him out, and He took him away, and He took our sins away. Well, honey, how do you know He led them far enough? Well, honey, I watched Him go out of sight. In fact, I can't really tell you the direction He went. I could track Him for a little while, and then He was gone in a direction I could not even see. But honey, how do you know that goat won't come back? Honey, there ain't ever been a goat come back before. This is not going to do any different. This is not going to do any different. Honey, oh my. She said, "Honey, I know you're tired. I know you're tired. But honey, just how do you know that our sins are gone?" I can see Aaron maybe saying, "Honey, this is the simplest way I know to tell you. Because He said so." And the simplest way I know to tell you tonight, I know I'm forgiven. I know my sins have been cast away as far as the east is from the west, because He has said so. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, "Let us hold fast. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. But let me tell you on this Tuesday night what the real question is. Where are your sins? Because they are somewhere. Where are your sins? If you're here tonight, you're lost, you've never been saved, they are yet in you. But if you're here tonight and you're saved and you're playing with sin, and you've got unconfessed sin, oh my, although the sins themselves have been removed, the devil's got them in front of you, making you relive them. And they're, in a sense, they're on you. But I want to tell you tonight, if you will but remember him who is the forsaken and what he has done with our sin, you can say, oh my, by faith, my sins are gone. I am the forgiven. For he became the forsaken. Bless you, preacher.